So we're going to talk about paper 20 after we delve into this, what I think is a very important section on the post-bestowal son, man, which is from paper 52, section 5. And the premise of this particular podcast is to talk about the necessary preparation for the next revelation. What is going to be the next revelation? In other words, we have the Urantia book, which is a revelation for this period, but it is preparing us for the next revelation, which will be the post-bestowal son. Jesus was a bestowal son, and we'll get to all the discussion about it, but I just want to read for you this very impactive segment on the next divine revelation that we are set to receive. And I'm going to read it pretty much straight through, and then we'll have a little musical interlude, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Post-bestowal son man. When a certain standard of intellectual and spiritual development is attained on an inhabited world, a paradise bestowal son always arrives. On normal worlds, he does not appear in the flesh until the races have ascended to the highest levels of intellectual development and ethical attainment. But on Urantia, the bestowal son, even your own creator son, appeared at the close of the Adamic dispensation. But that is not the usual order of events on the worlds of time and space. When the worlds have become ripe for spiritualization, the bestowal son arrives. These sons always belong to the magisterial or avonal order, except in that case, once in each local universe, when the creator son prepares for his terminal bestowal on some evolutionary world, as occurred when Michael of Nebadon appeared on Urantia, our world, to bestow himself upon our mortal races. Only one world in near 10 million can enjoy such a gift. All other worlds are spiritually advanced by the bestowal of a paradise son of the Avonal order. The bestowal son arrives on a world of high educational culture and encounters a race spiritually trained and prepared to assimilate advanced teachings and to appreciate the bestowal mission. Now, before I read on, I just want to take that paragraph again because I think this pertains to the Urantia revelation. Assuming that the Urantia revelation continues to grow and more people are introduced to its revelatory teachings, there could very well come a day where the bestowal son would arrive on a world of high educational culture and encounter a race spiritually trained and prepared to assimilate advanced teachings and to appreciate the bestowal mission. In other words, Urantia Revelation book readers, as well as Christians perhaps, would be able to appreciate and assimilate such a divine visitation. Wouldn't you agree? This makes what we do and what we learn all the more important. Continuing on, this is an age characterized by the worldwide pursuit of moral culture and spiritual truth. The mortal passion of this dispensation is the penetration of cosmic reality and communion with spiritual reality. The revelations of truth are extended to include the super universe. Entirely new systems of education and government grow up to supplant the crude regimes of former times. The joy of living takes on new color, and the reactions of life are exalted to heavenly heights of tone and timbre. Isn't that just beautiful writing? The bestowal son lives and dies for the spiritual uplift of the mortal races of a world. He establishes the new and living way. His flesh is an incarnation of paradise truth in mortal flesh. That very truth, even the spirit of truth, and the knowledge of which men shall be free. So we pause there because you're probably thinking, you know, in some measure, great measure, Jesus accomplished much of this when he decided to choose this world. And it is a testament to that fact that because we were lucky enough, one of 10 million worlds, to receive the bestowal son, that he did put it, I kind of think of it as an insurance, because without that influence, the last 2,000 years, we may very well have been lost. You know, Jesus planted a seed. But we are where we are today, and it requires of us, those of us who are entitled and have found, luckily, this new revelation, that we have to be prepared for the next visitation. And here it's telling us that on normal worlds, there are frequent visitations of divine personages. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment, because we want to get into what I call the Sagittarius Project, and that's where we discuss preparation, being prepared for that next revelation. And we'll talk about that. But I thought I'd take just a moment and thank you again for being close to the 20th download of these wonderful podcasts that I do as a labor of love to share the revelation. And I've received so many kind words of support and comfort, and I thank you. If you want to support this cause and you believe in the cause of sharing a revelation to the world at this most desperate time, go online and just share what we do. Everything that we do is a labor of love. YourRancherRadio.net is my website, YourRancherRadio.net, and there's all kinds of resources. In fact, I just recently changed. I had originally linked to the Your Rancho book online version, but it was just the separate papers themselves without the indexes, the subsequent parts of each section. So I've modified the Your Rancho book reading experience online so you can see more of what is contained in this wonderful revelation. And you can check that out. Plus, I have a couple of new articles being posted, and it has all the latest information from the Your Rancho Foundation, as well as the fellowship and the association, right there at your fingertips. We'll take a quick break. Let's listen to some really good music, and then we'll get back and talk about the next bestowal son, the next divine visitation, and what we should prepare for, and what I call the Sagittarius Project. And we'll get to all that in just a moment here on the Your Rancho Revelation Podcast. So we're at almost, oh my, I don't even want to say it. We're almost at 20,000 downloads of the Your Rancho Radio podcast, the Your Rancho Revelation. I'm so excited, and I am always amazed at the fact that there's such a wide amount of information that's available in the Your Rancho Revelation. There's no shortage. I will never, ever run out of material. So I want to briefly answer my own question from a few podcasts ago, where I had proposed, because of some astronomical events that were going on, that maybe they were a sign somehow of a dispensational period. And it turns out that I may have had the answer right there in front of me the whole time, because I started looking at the real prognosis of, among many things, when is the next visitation going to be? When is the next bestowal son going to show up? And you know me. I mean, I like you, think about these things from time to time. And it occurred to me that there might very well be a time where we need to prepare for another arrival of a revolution or a revelation in the form of a bestowal or a magisterial visit. If you're a Urantia reader, what you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the arrival of a bestowal son, not in the same fashion as Jesus, who was born of a woman, but a son who shows up as a full-fledged adult, visible to the human eyes, and he will be ably assisted by a corps of unseen friends, and he will serve as a magisterial son. But it's not going to happen until some things happen here on the planet. But in light of that, I started to think about this, what I call the Sagittarius Project. This is, I don't know if there is such a thing as a Sagittarius Project, but maybe there should be. And it's premised around the notion that if we know that we are likely to have a magisterial mission, a bestowal son, an avonal son come at some point in the future, then we should be preparing for it. Just as Van and Abaddon prepared the garden for the sometime arrival of Adam and Eve. Because Van was well aware of the fact that as mortal epics play out, there are periodic sons who come, and he anticipated that Adam and Eve would come, and so preparation was made for the garden. And I believe you can read about that in paper 70. I was reading it today. 70 or 71. 73, maybe. I could look it up. But anyway, so, and in the same way, Melchizedek also did the same thing when he was trying to teach Abraham and the early Salem missionaries about the advent of Michael and the arrival of the Creator's Son, the Son of God, the bestowal Son. And so Melchizedek prepared the way, if you will, so that when Michael, Jesus, would be born, that the world would be receptive to him. In the same way that Van and Abaddon prepared the world, or at least prepared the garden. And it says specifically in the segment part 3 of our local universe, where it talks about preparations for the Garden of Eden, and how Van and Abaddon preached that there would be, within 80 years or 100 years, there would be an Adam and Eve arrive. And so now we're given this revelation that prepares us for the next visitation. How does that grab you? Again, the Sagittarius Project, a group of dedicated Urantia book readers who wish to prepare for the eventual arrival of the next magisterial son, which we know from reading paper 20, sections 2, 3, 4, and 5, that a magisterial son will eventually make their appearance on this world. It could be 300 years from now. It could be 100 years from now. It could be 800, 1,000. Who knows? But it will happen. Even if Jesus comes back, which he has certainly promised to do, and there's a comment in that paper 20 that I just mentioned, where it talks about how our world is sort of thrown off because we were the world that Michael chose to have his seventh bestowal. But everything I know about Michael and Jesus was that he always allowed for the plan of God to work in its natural way. He wasn't one to intercede. Jesus or Michael, the personality of the Creator Son, was always of the mind to let the natural course of events take their course. And because he trusts the system. Boy, there's a lesson we could all learn, right? So back to the Sagittarius Project. So in saying that, in mentioning that, I say it because I believe that if the normal course of events are allowed to occur, Jesus can come back at any time. But he would not prevent, I don't think, in my mind, a visit of a magisterial or a avonal son if he felt that that was something that was necessary. But it may have to await a time where there would be people here who would be ready to receive such a son. So I think It comes to mind what I developed called the Sagittarius Project, kind of similar to the Garden Project. We recall that in the story of the Garden of Eden in the Urantia book, it was Nod and his associate Amadon, or Van rather, who had anticipated the arrival of Adam and Eve, and they spent a number of years, I think almost, well, it says in the book 82 years, creating a place for these two divine personalities to live. Now, obviously, we don't have to do that. And I've already, you know, used as an illustration the Melchizedek Project, which was to keep the spirit alive, keep the idea of monotheism alive, so that when Jesus did arrive, we would be spiritually prepared for him, which was accomplished. So it's not without precedent that mankind prepares for these bestowal visits, and it almost appears, at least in this scenario, if we accept the revelation as true, then we must also prepare for the next magisterial or bestowal son visitation, or even of Jesus himself, but not as a human, but as a divine being, or as even several divine beings. But what happens if in 100 years from now, or 1,000, and we find ourselves in a world where there is no religion? Or worse, we devolve back to a more cultish idolatry style of worship, or abject paganism, or worse, a planet of secularists under totalitarian rule, where religion is outlawed unless it is a state religion. Kind of like what China is doing now in their country with Xi Jinping thought, and the eradication of Buddhism and the modification of Christianity, where they're even taking the Ten Commandments and running through the Xi machine and making them servant to the state. So imagine a globe where you have mostly, you know, human beings who have no idea what things like God mean or anything, or Jesus would be against the law. I mean, we don't know. So we're not going to be prepared for a divine bestowal unless there is a group that is prepared for it. And at this point, it seems that we would be the ones that would be the torchbearers of that, in the sense that we would be the ones that would recognize who this divine personage would be. So let that sink in. Because if that holds true and this revelation is really a preparatory document for the next, then that's a pretty heavy load to bear. I mean, we have that responsibility. Maybe the Sagittarius Project, and I call it the Sagittarius Project because in the Urantia book it says that Nebadon, which is where our universe headquarters, where Jesus or Michael lives, is in the Sagittarius cluster. So that's why I call it the Sagittarius Project, because we are to prepare for the next bestowal experience here on Earth, and it probably won't happen until there is a large enough group that is prepared. That's my assumption. But you might have some thoughts on it. And I'll continue to think about it. But one of the points of an Avonal Son coming is a dispensation. And what I've learned, and what now I've answered my question from a couple of podcasts ago, are we in the middle of a dispensation, and are we to prepare for a divine son now? The question is, or the answer is no. Apparently there are dispensations where magisterial sons come and go without us being necessarily aware. And all of this is in paper 20, and I encourage you to read it. It's a great way to get yourself introduced to, for lack of a better word, the hierarchy of the spiritual world and what all of these lesser Christs do. It's a good read. Hey, I appreciate you spending time with me on this latest Urantia Revelation podcast, and I especially appreciate all of those who continue to check out all of my resources online and check out my articles. It's important to me. And if you ever want to reach out, the best way to do it, urantiabookradio@gmail.com. urantiabookradio@gmail.com.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shore of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the darkness of 10 hours of day. All those moments.